Hi everyone, and welcome to the first episode of BAR's 10-minute update on competition and foreign direct investment in Norway. In this podcast, we provide you with an overview of the key developments from the last quarter. And the best part? It's all in 10 minutes. My name is Anette Greve, Managing Associate at BAR, and alongside me I have Elin Moen, Partner at BAR. And Elin, let's cut to the chase. What are the key developments for Q1 2025?
We have selected four topics. And the first one is a news that broke in January, where the Director General of the Norwegian Competition Authority suddenly announced her resignation only 3 years into her six-year period. And the case was extensively covered in Norwegian media. It was reports of employee whistleblowing and also other internal conflicts leading to Ms. Søreide stating that she was no longer capable of doing her job. So as we know, during Søreide's period, the NCA has faced several setbacks in high profile cases, which I think has been tough. The NCA has also been criticized for using too much time in ongoing investigations, and not to mention they've been under a lot of political pressure to do something about the situation in the grocery sector.
I couldn't agree more, and frankly, I don't think that the political pressure will diminish going forward. The Norwegian Parliament has adopted a new market investigation tool, which will enter into force in July 2025, empowering the authority to investigate and address competition concerns in sectors all across Norway. And tackling potential competition concerns in the grocery sector is actually one of the main arguments put forward by the authority for introducing such a tool for the use of the authority. And so I think the expectations and the political pressure on the authority to now, so to say, fix competition concerns also in this sector would just increase going forward.
Definitely. Now the NCA has to deliver some way or the other. Now, meanwhile, we are, of course, curiously awaiting who the new Director General will be. Until that is made clear, one of the heads of unit are acting interim. But we will get back to this as well once we know more about the position when it's published and also who the applicants are. On that note, I think we can also briefly mention that the Norwegian Appeals Tribunal just got reinforced with several new members, whereof three was judges from the Norwegian court system, which was also a good strengthening of the tribunal.
I agree to that. Moving on to the second matter of this podcast, let's dive into a major development in Norwegian competition law, namely a much-awaited ruling in Norway's first-of-a-kind follow-on damages claim case. And this case is significant as it sets a precedent for the assessment of damage claims under Norwegian law. And the judgment, which was given in March this year, is in favor of the Norwegian postal operator Posten in its lawsuit against several truck manufacturers following their participation in a European truck cartel. Could you provide us some more details on that, Elin?
Yeah, so as you indicated, the background here is, of course, the Commission's 2016 decision in the so-called truck cartel, which led to Posten in 2018 filing a claim against some of the truck manufacturing, arguing that the collusion on gross list prices led to Posten being overcharged when they bought trucks from these manufacturers. And initially, the case was brought before the district court, which was set with one judge, who dismissed Posten's claim due to difficulties mainly related to the econometric evidence in the case. In essence, it appeared when reading the judgment that the judge was sitting alone and being a bit overwhelmed, actually, by the amount and nature of the evidence in the case. Now, the appeals court, which was set with five judges, where two were expert judges, took a different approach and thoroughly analyzed both the theory of harm and the economic evidence, and found that Posten had managed to prove both causation and loss.
So essentially, the Court of Appeals decision can be seen as more climate-friendly in that respect. And in the end, in this case, Posten was awarded approximately 10 million euros plus interest in damages, which is significant under Norwegian law. And Ellen, do you reckon that this case will encourage more companies to seek compensation for losses incurred due to anti-competitive conduct?
It remains to be seen, but the decision is definitely more uplifting for claimants compared to the district court decision, and at least showing that claimants that are willing to present robust evidence to the court has a fair chance of succeeding with these types of claims. I think we have to notice, of course, that the decision is still open to appeal, so it remains to be seen whether it's going to be brought before the Supreme Court or not. We'll come back to that as well. Let's move on to the third topic, which is an update on the Norwegian foreign direct investment regime. So, Anette, can you fill us in a bit on that?
Indeed. And I think we're going to keep this short and simple. And to start by just informing that as of today, we have one act, the Norwegian Security Act, that contains rules on the review and approval of investments in companies that have been brought within the scope of the Act due to national security considerations. And I guess as regards any updates, the Parliament has adopted amendments to this Act, and also recently, now in February, proposed a regulation under the Act that further details the investment control regime in Norway. And I'm not going to go into details on all the amendments and the proposed regulation, but in essence, these amendments move Norway towards a stricter merger control regime, as we see across Europe. And in our view, it will likely result in many more transactions being or falling within the scope of mandatory notification with the authority. And so this is something that foreign investors should be aware of. And both the amendments and the proposed regulation from February is expected to enter into force into 2025. So it will come this year. And finally, in addition to the foreign investment under the Norwegian Security Act, the government has also recently confirmed that it is working on a more general FDI regime that will be applicable to companies more generally. And eventually, once this enters into force, there will be two parallel regimes applicable in Norway.
Oh, excellent. So this is a bit complicated, but it's under development, and it's certainly something we get a lot of questions on. So before we wrap up, we are briefly going to touch into the fourth topic we plan to cover, which is the NCA yet again using the call-in powers. And this time they called in a transaction between Infomedia and Retriever, which is two Norwegian media monitoring and analyzing companies. We know that the Swedish Competition Authority is or have also been looking at it. And in Norway, the case is currently pending in phase two. So it's too early to say where that is going to end. I think the point for this purpose is basically that the case confirms the NCA's willingness to use their call-in powers, even on transactions between quite small companies. And as some may know, some of the most prominent cases in Norway in terms of merger control has actually appeared from the NCA using its call-in powers, such as the Nettbil case in 2020, which went all the way to the Norwegian Supreme Court. So we'll get back on that. Now, that were the key updates.
Excellent. So more information about the cases that we have discussed is available on BAR's website and in our newsletter posted on our website and on LinkedIn. And what remains to be said is thank you all for joining us and listening again in 3 months for our next quarterly update. Thank you.